let him live. Now, just that the scriptures that we have read all speak of crowns. The first four are individual crowns, crowns to be gained by every one of us if we set ourselves for what is in mind in the heart of the Lord Jesus for us. The last is an assembly crown, and I trust that every one of us too would set our hearts to be one with the saints in relation to the assembly receiving her crown. I need hardly say that really all crowns belong to Christ. But I want to speak tonight particularly of what the Lord would have us set our hearts for that is in accord with his own mind. But I believe nevertheless that all belong to Christ, they'll all be cast at his blessed feet, the Saviour's feet. The elders in Revelation 4 cast their crowns at his feet. Oh, dear brethren, if we gain a crown, whilst it's given to us in the goodness of God, in the purpose of the heart of God for us, we shall want to cast them all at the Saviour's feet. The one who was made a little lower than the angels, but whom God has crowned with glory and splendor. We shall soon see him, dear brethren. That sight will burst upon our ravished view ere long. Let us be ready for it. Let us make sure that we have got our eyes set in the right direction. Yes, God has set a crown of pure gold upon his head. How worthy he is of every crown. Well, the first crown that we read of in Corinthians 9 is the crown of the athlete. Now I suppose I might address myself particularly to the younger brethren. Not many of us older ones are athletes. I did a bit of running of necessity in the Eastern today, but that was to make sure I didn't lose my wife. But running belongs to the young. We were out not long ago and saw some lads on a cross-country race. And you know, those with long legs and lean bodies, they were in the lead. Those that were overweight, they were puffing along in the rear. Well now, what sort of an athlete are you? Dear young brother, dear young sister. Shall I say potential brother and sister? I include all the young, because you all know how to run. And there's a crown for you. Here it speaks of those who run in a race, who are set for a corruptible crown. It says that all run. Maybe not, but they who run in the race course run. All, but one receives a prize. But it's not quite like that in Christianity, you know. There's a prize for everyone who really sets their heart to be for Christ. But let us make sure we're set for that prize. Let us despise the corruptible crown, you know, that the world might give us. Yes, they have their crowns. I'm not speaking of those paper crowns that you might wear at a party. I'm speaking of something that the world is prepared to give you. If you are minded to go their way, I trust that we are minded to go the way the Lord would have us go. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the end of the race, life. Life with Christ. Who would despise that? What a prize. It says, Everyone that contends for a prize is temperate in all things, so indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown. Yes, we don't want to load up with that which is going to hinder us in a race. As one, you know, that wanted to get to the Lord, and even his garment he threw aside. He wouldn't be detained by anything that might be necessary, might be considered necessary. Many legitimate things, you know, can hinder us in this race for the prize that the Lord has in his mind for us. Well, it speaks of something more than that here, but we, emphatic and incorruptible, that is, we are set for an incorruptible crown. The crown that Jesus gives is an unfading crown of glory. And then he goes on to say, I therefore, yes, although he's aging, I suppose, he's still able to run a bit. I run as not uncertainly, so I combat as not beating the air. Oh, let us have a certain target before us. You see, it's so easy to get diverted and go off course. But the apostle says, I run not uncertainly, so I run. I combat as not beating the air. Oh, don't beat the air, that'll get you nowhere at all. No, but he says, I buffet my body and lead it captive, lest after having preached to others I should be myself rejected. Well, I think this would be a word for us all. I suppose I'm speaking to my brethren who know the truth. I'm sure of that. Know it better than I do. I've been helped this afternoon. We all get help as we are subject to the Spirit of God. It's a great comfort to me. I asked our brother only last Saturday, and dear Philip here, to pray hard in relation to today. Well, how we need our brethren. And you know, when you see the brethren, you take courage. Yes. The Lord and the Spirit give you strength, give you what is needed for the occasion. Well, dear brethren, the beloved apostle, he says, I lead it, he buffets his body. You see that? The very thing that can become the instrument under the hand of God is committed to him and to the Lord Jesus. If I'm not holding it rightly, it can be my hindrance. How much we care for our bodies, you know. Well, we need perhaps to care for our souls more. That which is not going to perish. So the apostle says, I buffet my body and lead it captive, lest after having preached to others I should be myself rejected. And so I appeal to us all. We might, many here I know, preach, seek to be available to the Lord. How good that is. Well, how searching you find, you know, when you stand up. Sometimes the word you feel isn't going where perhaps you thought it would go, into your brother or your sister. It hits the wall and comes straight back to you like a boomerang. You know, how often we can say things that perhaps we need to consider more. We need to pray more about. Well, the beloved apostle would buffet his body, lest having preached to others, he should become himself rejected. Not that anyone is going to be cast out of their eternal home, but you know, they become unserviceable. I wouldn't like to become unserviceable. You know, surely we love to serve the Lord. We love to serve the saints. We love to serve men. Let us always see that the word just affects us inwardly, ourselves. Well, we are to present then our bodies. Paul himself tells us what to do. In Romans 12, present therefore your bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. We put them on the altar. That's the way to use them for Christ. Accepting the death of Christ. Going out of this world, as it were, and not seeking a place here. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. H-O-L-Y. Holy. How necessary to keep our bodies holy. Undefiled. You know the world is full of defilement. Full of corruption. We have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable to God. Which is our intelligent service. In 2 Timothy 4, the beloved apostle is at the end of his race. He says, I am already being poured out, and the time of my release has come. A release from that body, body of humiliation. We who are older know a bit about that, but it is to have a body of humiliation. Well, and God, we're going to have bodies of glory. Like his glorious body, our blessed Saviour. What wondrous grace. I'm already being poured out from the time of my release has come. I have combated a good combat. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me. This is a warrior's crown. Warrior's crown. I have combated a good combat. Or to be in the conflict, you know, for the truth. Be with Paul in relation to the maintenance of the truth. This involves combat. It involves preparedness to suffer. That I might be in the conflict at the end. Because testimony calls for that. We are committed to a rejected Christ. Rejected Lord, we shall not be popular here. We shall find it a scene of conflict if we're going to be true to Christ. But oh, there's a crown awaiting such. There's a crown awaiting the warrior. The one who's prepared to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as Paul exhorted his son Timothy. Well, may we be in the Lord's service, dear brethren. Like the beloved apostle was to the end of his course. He says, the crown of righteousness, which is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me. Yes, how righteous the Lord is to reward every bit of service that is done in his name and for his glory. A crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will render to me in that day. Something not given here, nothing to wear here, nothing to make me conspicuous here. No, the Lord was prepared to go out of sight here. You prepared to go that way as a true disciple of Jesus. But there's this wonderful crown of righteousness for such. But not only to me, but also to all who love his appearance. Of the appearing of Christ. It involves his coming in glory. Did you think of that? Or do you only think of when he comes for his own? Well, that's the immediate hope, of course, of every lover of Jesus and the hope of the assembly. But who love his appearing, it involves his coming in glory when he will be publicly vindicated before a wondering universe. Oh, dear brethren, and we should come out with it. Isn't that wonderful? Then it goes on to say, use diligence. Use diligence. Well, may we use diligence, dear brethren, to be on this line. Then another crown is in James. Let the brother of low degree glory in his elevation. And the rich in his humiliation, because the grass is flower, because as the grass is flower, he will pass away, For the sun has risen with its burning heat and has withered the grass, and its flower has fallen, and the comeliness of its look has perished. Thus the rich also shall wither in his goings. At the beginning in verse 10 there's a reference, the rich, riches to glory and his humiliation. Well, you don't judge things as the world judges them, but a premium is put upon riches in this world. The love of money, root of all evil. And the appeal of it comes, you know, to young, I suppose it comes to all of us. How many have lost their soul? I don't mean eternally, but lost the joy of spiritual things through the love of riches. Dear brother that I used to be local with in Eastleigh, many years, today, wrapped up completely in his business and his television. Oh, dear brethren, how deplorable it is that persons that you've had fellowship with should so fall away. What a need there is to raise a warning at all times that we might keep our eye upon Christ, that we might not be detracted by the glory of riches in this world. We brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. What we take out will be of Christ, every impression of Christ. Every feature of his glory that we've taken off, we should see in its full splendor and beauty and adore him eternally. That is lasting. What is inward, dear brethren, speaks here of the glory of the field, of the flower fading away and perishing. What is outward is quickly passing away, but what is inward abides. Yes. Oh, dear brethren, let us set ourselves then for that which is unseen, for that which is seen is temporal, but that which is unseen is eternal. So it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for having been proved, he shall receive a crown of life, which he has promised to them that love him. This, you know, is something that you set yourself for now. Crown of life. Not life in this world. No. But life which is in Jesus. Life is found alone in Jesus. Only there it is offered me. Offered without price or money. It is a gift of God. Set free. Oh, what a Saviour God we have, who has provided for us in all the vicissitudes of the testimony. This is a question here of enduring temptation. We prepare to endure with Paul. Yes. Well, there's a crown of life. No, something better than this world can give. Some have set themselves to have their names on the rolls of honour of this world. Oh, how passing away they are. You see them even on the wall memorials. You can hardly read them. They've gone. And so have those who bore the names into the grave. But oh, dear friends, let us set ourselves for that which the Lord has reserved for everyone that loves him. It says here, blessed the man who endures temptation, for having been proved, that's it. The Lord is proving us now. This is the proving ground. Yes. Things will be rightly assessed in the light when we appear before him. Yes. Everything will be shown for what it is worth. And, you know, whatever, however little it may be, man that had 10 talents man that had five received the same commendation. Yes. Are you prepared to use your talent? What the Lord has given you, He's given every one of us something. We begin with the knowledge of Himself, the Saviour and Lord. Let us commit ourselves to the truth, that we might really acquire spiritual prosperity. And thus set ourselves for this crown of life which He has promised to them that love Him. Finally, not finally, but the last of the individual crowns, as we might speak of them, is in Peter's epistle. And this is clearly to the older brethren, and I include myself in this. Dear brother older than me wrote me quite recently, said, I suppose I must realize my age. I've never felt more than 25. Well, I hope we all feel like that. You know, when you think of what is before you, you don't count according to the calendar, do you? You've got the glory before you, and you're expecting to enter into it today. That's the way to keep the coming of the Lord before us. Well, now, this is clearly to the elders. 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am partaker of the glory about to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, exercising oversight, not by necessity, but willingly, not for base gain, but readily, not as lording it over your possession, but being models for the flock. When the chief shepherd is manifested, he shall receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the crown of the shepherd. Am I qualifying for that? Are you, dear brother? Sister too? There are shepherdesses as well as shepherds, you know. Oh, let us set ourselves for the shepherd's crown. There's much need of shepherding. I'm convinced of it, dear brethren. You know, we've referred to some who don't come to these meetings, therefore they don't enjoy what we've got. Are we prepared to seek them out and give them something, pass something on to them? It's a shepherd, as it says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. What a privilege, and yet too, what a responsibility. Shepherd. Flock of God. You say, well, I don't feel qualified. I've been a tremendous failure. I tell you what, you couldn't have been as big a failure as Peter. And yet, perhaps some of us have been. Well, there was hope for Peter, wasn't there? He became a shepherd. He was to shepherd the sheep. He was to feed the lambs. Feed the sheep. This is still an individual crown. This is still something that I must accept, and that you, dear brother and sister, too, are capable of taking on. Let us apply ourselves to it. You know, the Lord said, spoke of those who gave a cup of water to one of these little ones, in so doing, they've done it unto me. Visited the sick, visited me, he says. They said, when have we visited thee? Ah, he says, inasmuch as you have done it under one of these, you have done it under me. Think of that. You know, it elevates the service, doesn't it? It's great enough indeed to serve a brother, the humblest brother, perhaps a weakest sister, a holy responsibility, a great privilege. Yes, that's a great matter to commit ourselves to. But think of doing it unto the Lord. That is how we should do it. If we don't, then I don't think we shall do it in the Spirit of Jesus. Well, may the Lord just help us that we might qualify for this unfading crown of glory. Lastly, in Revelation, this is an assembly crown. I believe the idea of a crown, you know, is completion. It suggests a completion of matters. Whatever we are set for, field a race, the crown is at the end of the race. For the warrior, it's at the end of the conflict. For the shepherd, well, it's when the chief shepherd appears. He's going to get his crown. And you know, when's the assembly going to get her crown? When she's really proved faithful to Christ. When she's maintained what he suggests here. Because thou hast a little power. Don't we feel like that in these times? A little power. Well, he says, because thou hast a little power and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name, behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not. Think of that. Suggests those who are really unreal, you know. Many pass muster, don't they? Many pass muster. I say that soberly and carefully, but you know, it's so easy to have all the outward appearances, to be at all the meetings, and yet to miss this, to lack the little power, and to be unfaithful in relation to his word, or perhaps even to deny his name. Well, the Lord rightly assesses everything, and whilst we are despised here, despised, yes, the Waldron referred to the clerical gentleman who was amazed you couldn't get a communion cup. Well, think of it. How things have deteriorated, haven't they, in the great profession around us. Let us maintain the truth according to the word of God. Because they say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause that they shall come and shall do homage before thy feet and shall know that I have loved thee. There's another link with love for Christ. Oh, dear brethren, this must be the motive force, you know. Not to make anything of me, but because of my love for Christ. I'm just doing it in view of his glory and his present delight and pleasure. I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial which is about to come upon the whole habitable world. How we see evidence of that already, do we not? An hour of trial about to come upon the whole habitable world. Well, before it breaks in all its force and fury, the saints will have been taken. He's going to keep us out of that. Blessed be his name. To try them that dwell upon the earth, I come quickly. Hold fast what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Dear brethren, there's something to hold fast to. You know, in the early 70s, Brother Robert Scott said to me, when there were persons going away and saying that there's no clear position, he said, surely there's something to hold fast to. Isn't there, dear brethren? Surely there is. Let us set ourselves to hold fast to that which is dear to Christ, which is in accordance with Paul's ministry, and which will enhance in our affections what the assembly is to Christ. He will cause others to come and know that he has loved us. Oh, dear brethren, may we qualify then for this crown. Let no one take it from us. An assembly crown. It called for every brother and sister to be committed to the assembly in their own local position, ever having in mind a great universal position and never what is sectarian. The assembly involves every lover of Christ. If we have any smaller thoughts than that, we are sectarian ourselves. May the Lord preserve us from it. May we earn these crowns, dear brethren, for Christ's sake, because we should cast them all at his blessed feet. May he bless the world.